Now that we've talked about our belief in gratitude and about some of our barriers to that gratitude, it's time now to build some bridges to it. It's one thing to affirm the idea of gratitude, but it's quite another to embody it. So the pathway from belief to being must in some way cross the bridge of, you guessed it, action. We don't have to make it happen, but we do need to employ tools and thoughts that help us cooperate with the divine flow of thanksgiving. Growth is a process, yes. But, as we've noted before, we have subtle ways of impeding that process, throwing up behavioral barriers and talking it to death, all the while wondering why we aren't making any progress. Unless an idea moves from the realm of knowledge to experience, from the abstract to the practical, it remains simply a good idea, admirable maybe, but without a heartbeat and dynamic movement, not to mention results. Now it's time for us to explore ways of thinking and behaving that actually build the bridges to a life of gratitude. Now, I always feel a kind of spiritual crunch at this juncture in the process because I wonder, to what extent do I fake it till I make it, and how much do I take my hands off the wheel and trust the process? Frankly, the short answer is, it beats me. I'm becoming convinced that it's a fluid but tricky dance between the two, a dance that moves at its best when we're closely connected with the leading partner, the Spirit of God. So what are the tools and practices that help us dance this dance of gratitude? The good news is that there are a multitude of options available. The bad news is that most of them are not quick fixes. They require that we accept our own stumblings with compassion while maintaining our intention. However, experience shows that there are some behavioral bridges that do help span the gap between the idea and its implementation. First of all, let's talk about bridges of the body, or body practices, spiritual disciplines that involve the use of the body. This year I was actually going to join a gym. I was even thinking of putting myself in the hands of one of those drill sergeant kinds of trainers, someone who might coerce me into the kind of exercise that would turn middle-aged flab into solid muscle. As I weighed the pros and cons and the expense of this whole enterprise, I couldn't help wondering why we human beings get so worked up over our outer bodies but don't seem to devote the same energy to developing the inner muscles that are equally important. Furthermore, what might happen if we engage the physical body in the service of the spiritual body so that all parts of us, body, mind, and spirit, could strengthen the others? So what follows now are some exercises that provide maybe some of the cross-training that can empower the development of our gratitude muscles. The first thing I want to mention is the right thing, that is W-R-I-T. The mail on that March morning contained an unusual note, pinned on lovely pink stationery with purple ink. A delicate pattern of violets decorated the envelope flap, and a tiny hint of floral scent made me eager to eyeball the contents. It was a brief message from an acquaintance who stated that her Lenten practice that year was to send a letter of thanks to one person each day for 40 days. It was a touching letter, and I'll admit it made my day. As I went on about my business, I just couldn't quite forget about it. Thoughts drifted in and out, such as, writing 40 notes would be such a drag. Besides, I'm not sure I even know 40 people that I want to thank. After a few hours, I would think about it again, and then again, and again. The sort of persistent thought awareness that I have come to recognize as God trying to get my attention. Naturally, I came up with endless excuses not to do this. I was out of notepaper, I didn't have time, I would feel guilty when I inevitably failed at such a demanding task. That spiral that's familiar to all of us, that always ends up with, oh well, what's the use? And I recognized in all that my old nemesis, the fear of failure. I knew if I tried a practice like this that it would surely end in despair. But this gentle nudge kept returning to my consciousness, so finally I breathed a reluctant, tentative yes. But first I had to plug all the pitfalls that I knew would sabotage me. I went to the bookstore and bought two attractive boxes of note cards with matching green pens, then to the post office for 40 flower stamps. I dug out my address book, put it within arm's reach of my morning chair. I assembled all my supplies. Now, as for the 40 recipients, I vowed not to panic about that. I trusted that their names would be revealed to me one day at a time, sort of like manna from heaven. But even with elaborate preparations, I was still afraid of failing. But things quickly began to improve. I soon discovered that it took only 5 minutes to write one of those notes. It didn't have to be eloquent, just sincere, to the point. I started out with the obvious choices, my family, close friends that I could easily identify. Like the movie said, I felt like I was paying it forward. After a couple of weeks, though, a strange thing began to happen. That simple Lenten practice began to affect my day and mess with my mind in surprising ways. As I began to anticipate the name of the next person to receive one of these notes, long buried memories surfaced. That high school English teacher who helped me get a scholarship. The nurse in my doctor's office who always had an unhurried smile. The minister at the church of my youth who shepherded me patiently through teenage doubts and dilemmas. I even found myself jotting down the names of a grocery store checkout clerk who never got short-tempered when the lines were long. It seemed that there were blessings behind every bush, and with each passing day, I felt lighter, freer, more grateful. Somehow, my other burdens inadvertently shifted in intensity. Now, not that the difficulties disappeared or the problems miraculously solved themselves, they just felt more manageable somehow. While I thought I was obediently doing a good deed, God was using the experience to strengthen my flabby gratitude muscles. Now, there are many variations on this note-writing theme. It might be a letter of appreciation to someone on each day of Thanksgiving week, or one week during the month of November, or during the season of Lent, or intercessory prayer for one particular person each day. Let the Spirit guide your imagination. It's a simple response to that sentiment that we all share. I always meant to thank them, but never got around to it. So just pick up a pen and act on that impulse of appreciation. Now, you can also turn this into visits of appreciation. This practice puts legs on your letters. You can consider hand-delivering your note of thanks and reading to that person as the recipient of your gratitude. Another practice I've heard of that involves something sensory is called the gratitude rock. I heard of a man who had this strange habit of carrying a small, smooth stone in his pocket. He called it his gratitude rock, and he used it to nudge his thoughts of appreciation every time his fingers encountered the rock in his pocket in search of a coin. Not only did it serve as a symbol of blessing to him, but, of course, he also found many occasions to spread the theme of Thanksgiving, as people in puzzlement would ask him, what on earth are you doing with that rock in your pocket? Another practice that is practical in our lives involves that of paying bills. Now, this is probably not an activity you appreciate, right? Granted, this discipline is a bit of a stretch. Since our usual demeanor when writing checks, paying bills is one of grumbling discontent. But I recently read a piece by Rabbi Harold Kushner, and these were his comments. Quote, I once read an essay by a man who had formed the habit of writing thank you in the lower left-hand corner of all his checks when he paid his bills. He would write a check to the electric utility or phone company, and as he penned in the words thank you, he would think of all the ways in which his life had been made more comfortable by the fact that this company provided him with its service. He would write a check to the bank for his monthly mortgage payment, pause for a moment to reflect on the comfort of having a roof over his head. Even when he paid his income tax in April, he disciplined himself to write thank you on the check because it was his way of reminding himself to feel grateful to be living in this country. Close quote. Or as a friend of mine joked on the infamous April 15th tax day, I'm trying to be grateful for the income tax I pay because it does mean that I have an income. Now, there are many body practices that involve movement, the most natural of which, of course, is walking, because that's our major form of physical fitness. So why not deepen the meaning of our meandering by walking our way to gratitude? And there are many ways to do this. One is what is called a parable walk, and this encourages God to speak to us through some detail that catches our eye. The practice is this. You stroll along at a leisurely pace, focusing intently on the surroundings, and be open to whatever might draw your attention. A spider web, a falling leaf, a puddle of raindrops, a dandelion. Let your imagination flow. For instance, you might notice a tiny green shoot growing proudly through a crack in the sidewalk, reminding you that life finds a way through the darkness, through hard times, and that as living beings, we too strive toward the light with inherent resilience. Or pause to notice how the watery puddle mirrors the details of the earth and sky. Another practice is called the sensory walk, and this invites us to stop and smell the roses, literally. Now, this contemplative stroll takes us out of the realm of the intellect, where so many of us live our spirituality, and urges us to concentrate on the miraculous gifts of the senses. Here's what you do. You go to a natural, quiet, natural environment, perhaps a park or a botanic garden setting, woodland environment. Walk tall, lifting your head and chest with a deepening awareness of how your body feels in motion, allowing your spirits to lift along with your body. For several moments, focus only on what you hear. The birds, the rush of the wind, the crackle of the leaves beneath your feet. Then move on to the sense of touch, as you stop to feel the silkiness of a flower or sift a handful of dirt through your fingers. Deep sniffing breaths are next, as you become aware of the assortment of smells surrounding you, thinking only about that. Then cast your eyes on the beauty in every direction, from the colors in the sky to the squirming of a caterpillar on the path. Let yourself celebrate the beauty that your eyes see. And then lastly, if no one's looking, open your mouth and drink in the taste of the air that you share with all living things. As their emission goes into the atmosphere and enters your cellular cycle. So we allow natural gratitude to bubble up for your body's capacity to hear, to touch, to smell, to see, and taste all these wonders. Believe me, it works. That's the sensory walk. Then there is a practice called the companion walk, and this ignites the imagination in a different way. Envision a silent companion who strolls alongside you. Perhaps Jesus or an angel or the spirit of a loved one, whatever might feel natural or comforting to you. Imagine a sacred conversation taking place, in which you pour out your gratitude for simple delights, as well as the gift of this person's presence in your life. There's also a walking practice called the grounding walk, and this reminds us that, as we're told in Acts 17, quote, "In God we live and move and have our being." By placing one foot in front of the other with intentional focus on the contact of your soles, the soles of your feet, that is, with the ground, you embody a symbol of your inner soul's encounter with the ground of our being. Imagine that as your feet come in contact with the earth, you are gratefully affirming the divine foundation of your very existence. If you're familiar with the following hymn tunes, you might even sing along in syncopated steps, either silently or out loud. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord. You know that hymn. Or, O Master, let me walk with thee in lowly paths of service free. Even the old hymn that ends with, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. So use your imagination, and if you are musically inclined, you can certainly syncopate your steps with these wonderful hymns. So all manner of walking meditations provide opportunities to thank God for the intricate interaction of nerve and muscle that makes walking possible. So as the soles of your feet meet the earth, allow your inner soul to be nourished in earthly appreciation. Another bridge of the body is called the breath bridge. Now, one of the most valuable tools of Thanksgiving is always at the ready, and that is our very own breath. Since we're doing it anyway, and it doesn't require any special techniques or training or tools, we might as well let the breath facilitate this journey we're on. However, all forms of breath prayer seem to be more effective if one engages in expansive belly breaths. The singers and the yogis call it abdominal breathing, allowing the air to enter the abdomen rather than just the chest cavity or just upper body breathing. To formulate a personal breath prayer, you need only think of a natural way of addressing the divine, that is, a few words on the inhale, and a simple breath prayer statement, a few words on the exhale. The expression of thanks travels with us everywhere, 24/7, available to nurture our spirits in any situation. Frequent repetition of the same prayer day after day accomplishes the sacred work of a chant, that of allowing the mind to slip into the unconscious realm where the Holy Spirit prays for us, as we're told in Romans, with sighs too deep for words. I'll give you a couple of samples here, but I urge you to shape your own breath prayer for your own soul, asking the Spirit to guide you. On the inhale, you may say, God of creation, or loving God, Holy One, speak, O God, Spirit within me. And on the exhale, you could say, I give you thanks, or the ground of my being, or Holy One, fill me with thanks. All is well, or joy is mine. A breath prayer can carry images instead of words. For example, you might sense this infilling of gratitude on the inhale and the relaxing of anxiety on the exhale. There's also a practice called the pause prayer, and this has to do with breathing also. This is an example of using the breath to break a reactive cycle long enough to focus on another response. The pause prayer requires that we listen intently to the messages of the body that we rarely examine, our everyday garden variety emotional surges. Think of that host of moments common to all of us that can be described as an instant of impatience. All right, this is the sort of thing that happens immediately when we encounter something that bugs us. the tightening of our jaw when the person preceding us in the checkout line can't find her checkbook, or the tapping of our fingers on the table when the waiter won't show up, the exasperated pacing when we wait for the friend who is always late. Our reliable inner compass, it's constantly signaling us with emotional surges and physical cues. The feeling may be one of irritation, anger, disgust, impatience, or dislike, or, on the other hand, it could be the adrenaline rush of delight and laughter, joy, exhilaration, enthusiasm. And rather than rushing to a reaction when we have one of these emotional surges, the interior messenger invites us to pause. Remember how we were always told to breathe in and count to 10 by our mothers? Well, they were probably right. This pause helps us accept the fact that we are human beings with human responses and forgive ourselves for feeling the way we feel. And then perhaps on the exhale, we can shift to spontaneous thanks for something else and watch the energy change. So whether it's positive or negative, we ignore this inner compass at our peril because it has a ton of information to give us if we withdraw all projections and all blame. For instance, if a friend continually offends me, rather than running straight to the judgment of he shouldn't have said that, she shouldn't have done that, and dwelling on the misdeeds, my emotional surge invites me to pause to ask a different question, such as, what in me is getting hooked? What wound in me just had the scab knocked off and needs my compassion? What fear is being triggered? Is there a way to express my feelings within proper boundaries? Now, as we have the courage to address these coded messages from our intricate interior system, we can simultaneously feel wonder and gratitude at this network of body, mind, and spirit. Once again, the pause that's created by a belly breath can be our greatest ally in choosing to respond rather than react. It brings us back to the here and now and allows us to move at the pace of guidance. We'll continue our Bridges to Gratitude in the next broadcast.